depending on what interpretation you're reading, words are slightly different in this verse. But I'm going to read it from the King James. And I didn't study it from the King James. But I'm going to read it from the King James. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And I don't remember, I didn't write down in my notes whether I found it in the English Standard Version or the New American or what version of the Bible I was reading it in, but it said, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. And I like the use of both of those words. I serve God's law, and I am a slave to God's law. I also, while we're right there in Romans, want to touch on Romans 8, 14 through 17, because we can think about law and our minds can automatically jump to legalism and works, and I don't want us to go there this morning, this evening. I don't want us to go there ever. You know, we're not bound by works. We're not bound by legalism. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him and that we may be also glorified together. You know, as I was, I wouldn't even really say developing this message as much as it was just Bible verse after Bible verse coming to memory and going and looking it up and seeing what it said again and just putting it down on paper. It just really struck me about when we are in the Word of God, when we are in worship, when we are in prayer, we are led by the Spirit. But if we're not putting in our spiritual self-discipline to be in the Word, to be in fellowship with believers, to be in worship, to be in prayer, how then can we be led by the Spirit? There are many spirits in the world and many that would lead us astray if we would let them. You know, in the Bible it says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, but the goats do not, and they will be led astray. When we bring ourselves to Wednesday night service, when we bring ourselves in fellowship, when we bring ourselves into the correction and the reading of the Word of God, we are familiarizing ourselves with the shepherd's voice so that we be not led astray by the many changing winds of the world and of false doctrine. Doctrine that might sound good, but a little change here and a little change there, and it'll easily lead you down a path you never thought you would be on. I don't want tonight's message at all to be a sense of discouragement or correction, because that's not the heart at all. I want it to be an encouragement, because as I look around the room, I see people who are in the Word of God. I see people who worship deeply, who pray deeply, who serve deeply, whether it be here in the church or out on soul winning or whatever the gift and whatever the calling. I see people who serve the body of Christ. And I just want to bring light to these few thoughts that I have tonight, and just encourage to continue to push deeper, to continue to push forward in that which you are doing. I've got a lot of Bible verses that I want to touch on, and I'm going to see how many of them I can get through, because the real heart of the message is going to come in Ephesians. But I wanted to bring good cross-reference to other parts of the Bible as well. Romans 14:8. In Romans 14:8, we read, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. There's that thought again. We are the Lord's. Why are we the Lord's? Because when he died on the cross for our sins, he shed his blood for us. And when we received him, he paid the price for our sin. He paid the price of death. He bought us with his blood. We are no longer our own, but we are his. We are servant to him. We are slave to him and to his service. And if we give ourselves over to that freely, we will find ourselves on some pretty wild paths of adventure where we find ourselves out of our comfort zone, serving God, ministering, doing his work. I think about Brother Mark, that first time we went out soul winning, and you were thinking one park and I was thinking another. And before we went, I said, you know, Washington Park, Albany, right? And you're like, oh, I was thinking Schenectady, but yeah, absolutely, let's go to Albany. And you haven't stopped going since. I mean, every time there's an opportunity, Mark is there, eager and willing to win souls. And that's a beautiful thing to watch, with many people in the church out on a regular basis, seeking the lost. Why is it so important? Look around the world. We're in a dark spot. Every generation has said that. And every generation has believed it. There are those who would just sit back and woe is me and woe is the state that we find ourselves in. And then there are those who are in the Word of God who are saying, wow, look at the harvest field. It is ripe. Let's go get some lost souls. Let's do something about this darkness we find ourselves in. Let's go pull this soul from the pits of hell. They're on hell's door. Let's see if we can get them before they walk through. There are those who are fired up when they watch the news to go out and witness and to try to save their neighbors, their friends, their strangers, their enemies. There are those who are led by the Spirit. And I'm encouraged as I look around the room. I've said it once, I'm going to say it again, because I see people who are doing that very thing. And yet I find it just impressed on me tonight that this is what we're to be reading, and this is what we're to be studying, this is what we're to be hearing, not just listening to the audio sound waves touching our eardrums, but actually hearing and thinking about, digesting, internalizing, and then acting upon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to try to keep rolling because the time is rolling. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not just our body is his, but our spirit is his. And when we realize that and we walk in that, our spirit, through the reading of the word, through prayer, through worship, through fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ who are just encouraging us forward, our spirit lines up with his. Our desires of our heart become the desires of his heart. He fills us with his spirit. And the more of his spirit that fills us, the less room there is for the old sin nature, the flesh. And we push deeper and deeper and deeper. But unlike Thanksgiving dinner, where you can sit and eat and gorge, and then you hit that after Thanksgiving dinner crash on the couch where you don't want to move. Unlike that feast, when we dig deep into the Word of God, we are being fed and we always have capacity to take in more. We don't hit that spot where we feel like we can't move. We hit that spot where we feel like we have to move. We have to go. We have to act upon what we've learned. We have to share the good news that we've learned. Why? because there are souls on the gates of hell's doorstep right now. And what are we going to do to pull them back? There are people who are drowning in their sin and in their sorrow, who are seeking pleasure and are seeking happiness in all the wrong ways, and they are drowning. Are we going to throw them the life vest, or are we going to sit in the comfort of our home and say, gee, I don't know? I'm encouraged because we're in a church where that's not the case. I don't have to worry that that's the case. It's not my job to worry, but even if it was, I wouldn't, because I know that I'm surrounded by people who are out and are doing, who are walking in the Spirit, who are going out on the mission field, whether near or far, and I'm encouraged. In Acts chapter 20, verse 19 through 24, many of them also, which used curious art. Double check my reference. Acts chapter 20, that's 19. I don't want chapter 19. Don't want to talk about curious art today. Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Spirit witness in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I found it interesting there. I know physically Paul was headed to prison and he was physically bound. But what he wrote there was, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He found himself literally and spiritually in bound up for Christ's sake. But he went with joy, knowing the ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of grace of God was going to continue forward and was going to come to fruit. Galatians 2:20, and then we're going to head to Ephesians after. But Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate, continuing in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. Naturally, we know righteousness does not come by the law, but it does come by grace. It is a gift that was given. It cannot be earned. We can't do anything to add to it. We can't increase God's love by doing anything, and we cannot decrease God's love by doing anything. But we can increase our understanding of it by being in the Word, by being in fellowship with believers, prayer, and worship. I hope you guys get that I keep repeating those same three to four things. Being in the Word, being in fellowship with believers, being in prayer, and being in worship. Why do I keep repeating it? It's vitally important. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In verse 1, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of the calling that God has called you. For any of you who don't know what the calling of God is on your life, reach deep. Be in the Word, be in prayer. Ask those who are older than you in the Word. Seek out your calling, and once you know it, hold fast to it. Do not forsake it, but pursue it. When you are pursuing that which God has called you to pursue, little else will matter. It does not matter how many zeros you have behind your paycheck at the end of the week. It does not matter the size of the house that you live in, or the clothes that you wear, the cars that you drive. When you know what God has called you to, you hold fast to it, and you walk worthy of that calling, you will be satisfied, you will be gratified, and you will have your needs met. But when you try to walk after the ways of the world, you will be continually frustrated. In verse 2, it's laid out for us of how we're to walk worthy of the calling. Humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And in verse 3, making every effort to keep unity of the Spirit. It talks of keeping unity of the Spirit. So it would only stand to reason that there can also be disunity of the Spirit. There are different types of spirits, and we're only interested in one, the Holy Spirit. The spirit of this world is very different than the Spirit of God. I was listening to a Pastor Schaller message not that long ago, and he was talking about a spark and a true light. And it's easy to chase after a spark. When you're out camping and you throw a log on the fire, the sparks go up and they look pretty. But in life, that spark can be some new idea, some new doctrine, something that sounds good. And it's easy to chase after that spark. Ooh, look at that pretty thing. Let me go get that. That sounds good. But in the Holy Spirit, we see the true light. And the true light provides a light that will guide us through the dark, that will guide us through the night, that will help our feet find the true path. If you ever try to capture a spark and use it to light a path in a dark woods at night, that won't go well. And in the same way, these fancy, flashy new doctrines, these spirits that are leading astray, have the same effect. You end up wandering. You think you have a light, but it's not the true light. But when you grab hold of the Holy Spirit and you allow the Word of God to light the path before you, that which you need to know immediately in front of you is abundantly clear, and you walk forward in confidence in that thing, knowing this is where I am supposed to be right now. This is what God has called me to. This is what I am going to go do. And whether I am experiencing joy or whether I am experiencing pain and suffering, I know that this thing is what God has called me to, so I am going to push through, because the feelings are temporary, but the rewards are not. How do we get grace? Can I go to Walmart and ask one of the ever so helpful people in blue vest, could you lead me to grace? I would like to buy some. Can you go out and earn grace? Can you work hard? Can you be good and do good works and get grace as a reward? Can you go out on your own and build grace or manufacture grace or stir up grace? No, that all sounds silly, doesn't it? In verse 7, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We can't earn it, we can't buy it, but it is given, and we can receive it. To every one according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm going to turn quickly just to Philippians 1:27. I was trying to remember why I wrote it down, but I didn't write notes next to it, so we're just going to turn there and read it. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Why do we strive? Why do we seek to be led by the Spirit? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our desire is to push deeper with God, to be filled deeper with His Spirit. Why? For the spreading of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel brings freedom. The gospel brings truth, and where there is truth, real truth, then there is freedom. There's a gentleman that I heard on a podcast. His name is Jocko Willink. He's a Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6. And he has a phrase that he uses frequently, and it is, discipline equals freedom. The more disciplined we are, the more free we become. Because as we're disciplined in our life, we have more time in our schedule, because we're saying no to the things that don't benefit that we're called to. There are many good things that we could be about and many good works that we could be doing. But if you're not holding fast to the calling which God has given you, chasing after this other thing that might be good and might be godly, but if it's not what you were called to do, you don't have freedom, because now you're filling your life with a busyness. You're about busyness instead of about what God has called you to. Can you imagine if your dentist decided he was going to go fix your car engine for you because you told him your check engine light was on? Would you be confident and comfortable in that? No, of course not. Can you imagine if I got up here and tried to lead worship? Could I do the job of any of our great worship team members? No, I could not. Why? Because it is not what I am called to. When we walk in that which God has called us to, we experience freedom and we experience joy because we're doing that which he called us to do. And when we're doing what he called us to do, we have a peace, even when there is suffering, even when there is a pushback against us. I've had many conversations this week with different people, old friends, and there's just this overwhelming sense that there is just a continual pushback from the enemy, that not only are we in spiritual warfare, but we are directly under attack right now as a church, as a Christian, as a father, a husband, a wife, a family. The attack is real and the pushback is real. But am I personally worried or concerned? No. Why? Because I'm being led by the Spirit. I know what I am called to do, and I am pushing forward and walking in that. And I know that there are people out there that need to hear the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, of truth, of love, who are waiting for somebody to share with them. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the lady at the cashier at the checkout. Who knows? God knows. Let the Spirit lead you as you walk through your week. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have it available at our fingertips all the time, that we are capable and that we are ready to pick it up at any time and be fed, be guided, be directed in that which you have called us to. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of grace that you have given each and every one of us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which you have sent to comfort us and to guide us when we know not what to do. If there is anyone who is listening to this message, either here or on the internet, who has yet to receive Christ as their Savior, don't let this opportunity pass you. God's gifts are free. He's already paid for them. They've already been wrapped up and set aside for you. All you need to do is accept him to receive his gift of salvation, his gift of grace, and his Spirit. Pray this prayer with me now if you've never prayed it. Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for descending into the depths of the earth and ascending again unto heaven, paying my debt, paying for my soul and my body. I receive you, Lord. I receive your free gift, and I want to be called a child of God. Thank you. Welcome to the family. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.